I would like to have you turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, and I'm going to read today verses 11 through 16. Now, I don't want to consider this as a waste of time, because this is God's Word, and what God has to say is far more important than anything that I could say about God's Word. And so, let's just read these verses, and you rejoice with me. If you can take your Bible and sit down and read them with me, that'll be wonderful. That'll be great. If you're not in that position, listen very carefully to the reading of God's Word, beginning with verse 11. And I saw heaven open. This is John now, who penned down the book of the Revelation as the Holy Spirit gave it to him. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My, what powerful verses of Scripture that we find in the Bible. Now, I'm not getting this out of Sears and Roebuck catalog, though that might be a wonderful piece of equipment to have around the house. I'm certainly not getting it out of Time magazine. I'm not getting it out of Newsweek. I'm not getting it from the Washington Post, nor from the Wall Street Journal. I'm reading this from the Bible, God's eternal, everlasting, forever settled in heaven, Word of God. And this Word of God that I hold in my hand as I sit here to bring you this message today is God's eternal Word in written form. Now, Jesus Christ is God's Word in spiritual and bodily form as he was upon the earth before he came to earth and after he left the earth and forever, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, John said, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that is the spoken Word of God through the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have here the very same Word of God in written form. Now if you don't believe that, then you certainly could never, never find any peace, not in this life, nor in the life to come. Now there is a life to come, there is an eternity awaiting, and you best be ready for it by believing what God has to say in the Bible, for it is truly God's Word. Oh, you can laugh at it, they do. The modern day professors laugh at it, make fun of it. Even preachers today will make light of the Word of God, even in the pulpit. They'll take a passage of Scripture and read it, and then tell the people, well, now, he really didn't mean this like it sounded to you. Most of the time they'll say, well, he didn't mean this like the fundamentalists say that it is to be read and believed. He meant it this way, and in his mind was this way, and the culture of his day was such that it does not apply to our day. That's a bunch of hogwash. We hold in our hand the eternal, everlasting, precious Word of God that is plenary, which means it is complete and full, and it is ever-present, which means that it is applicable to me right now. And I hope if you read the Bible, you will take it in that light. It'll certainly help you. You'll never find any peace anywhere else except in God. Now, I find this in the Bible, that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, this has to do with his coming back with his church when he comes in power and great glory. He's going to come for his church, and that could take place at any moment. There's a great contrast that should be made between this scripture and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, for this same Jesus will God bring with him when he comes again. Now that's talking about the rapture of the church. That's talking about our leaving the earth. This verse, these verses, are talking about Jesus coming back to this earth. You say, now, preacher, you really don't believe that, do you? 1,000%, if there is such a thing. And how can I believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus is coming back again. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now, this is entirely different from what we read about the rapture. When we read about the rapture, we read about Jesus coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We read about him catching out. That's what the word rapture means, catching out his saints. That's going to take place 7 years before these scriptures that I'm reading today. We should be looking for Jesus to come for the saints right now. Oh, no, we don't have to wait till the year 2000. Don't let somebody kid you. Don't let somebody fool you and try to take the Bible and use expressions in the Bible and try to teach you that they mean that Jesus must come in the year 2000. No. You can't say that. No man knows the day nor the hour, the Bible says, but the Father in heaven. And you don't need to try to be more smarter than God. You don't need to try to be as smart or as wise as God. You don't know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. You don't know when the revelation is going to take place. So why don't you just admit it? But you do know that he is coming. You know that he's coming for his saints, and then you know that he is coming with his saints. And this is with his saints, and he is coming on a white horse. When he comes for his saints, we'll meet him in the air. When he comes back with his saints to set up his kingdom upon this earth in the second coming of Christ, he's going to be riding upon a white horse, and his saints will be coming also riding upon white horses. I've thought about that a lot. I don't care that much about riding horses. Now, I hope anyone won't think that I'm not a real man by saying that. There's just some things people like and some things others like. I personally prefer dogs myself. I don't even like cats that much. Now, don't get mad at me. If you like cats, that's your business. But I like dogs, but I don't like horses that much. I think they're beautiful animals, and I like to see them run and perform and whatever else they do. But I don't care about riding them. I don't care about the soreness the next day after I ride one. I just that's just my own personal thing. But boy, this is one time I'm going to ride a horse, and I'm going to come riding a white horse with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to enjoy it because he's coming back in victory and glory. His name is Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, we have so much mix up in the courts today. A person can commit a crime that they ought to be took out and be hung for. It can be proven without a doubt that they're guilty, and they'll stay in jail 15, 14, 13 years before they ever are executed, if then. And finally, everybody's forgotten all about it. A new generation has almost come along, and the capital punishment doesn't mean a thing to many people because it is not carried out swiftly. But I'll guarantee you when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he'll carry out his judgment upon this earth, and he will carry it out swiftly. Yes, and he'll make war. Who's he going to make war with? He's going to make war with the Antichrist and all of those nations that have aligned themselves with the Antichrist. Now, who is the Antichrist? Well, you don't have to have a name to know who the Antichrist is. That is, no one knows what his name is. He has not been revealed. He has been called, or at least different men have been called, the Antichrist, and said they were going to be the Antichrist, and no one knows that. He will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. And frankly, I don't care who he is. I know what he is. He is anti-God. I know what he is. I know what his policies are. His policies are, you worship me instead of worship God. And the false prophet's going to go along with him, and the false prophet's going to command that all of these religious organizations that have joined themselves together in a great unity effort, a great, actually, union effort, they have joined themselves together and are doing so rapidly today, all saying it doesn't matter about doctrine, it doesn't matter at all about what we believe. As long as we all believe in God, then we're all going to go to heaven. We're all a part of the great family of God. Well, the Bible certainly doesn't teach any such thing. You're either born again and are a member of the family of God, or you are lost and on your road to an eternal hell. Well, anyway, he's going to come and he's going to make war with the Antichrist and all of the enemies of God. The Antichrist has already put down the so-called church, that harlot church. He's already put it down in the middle of the tribulation period. It's already gone. And he wants everybody to worship him. And you will worship him, or you will pay the consequences. But when Jesus comes, you know, that's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful, wonderful statement. When Jesus comes to an individual, there just isn't anything any better than that. You remember the song that I've sung many, many, many times through the years, and a song that really just rings out in your heart. One sat alone beside the highway begging, and his eyes were blind, the light he could not see, and goes on about the old blind Bartimaeus. And then the chorus says, but Jesus came, then Jesus came and made his darkness flee. Well, Jesus came to me and saved me from my sin when I was yet a child, and I trusted him and believed upon him and repented of my sins and accepted him as my Lord and as my Savior. He came into my heart. He came in the person of the Holy Spirit into my body, and he came into my life as my ruler and my guide and my constant companion and one who cares for me. But then, of course, he is going to come again. Then Jesus came. And when Jesus comes, he's going to put down all of the enemies of God. Therefore, we don't need to fret about it. We have too many Christians today who are joining political organizations trying to fight the fight for God that God never intended for you to fight at all. God never intended for you to fight the devil politically. Oh, boy, I've hit some strong nerves there, but bless your heart, it's just truth. God never intended for you to fight politically. God never intended for you to try to beat the devil on your own. And that's what you do when you try to join forces together and beat the devil politically. You just are not going to do that. It's not going to work. And therefore, you'd better spend your time serving God and preaching the gospel, getting out the word of God, telling people they need to be born again, and looking for Jesus to come again, and he's going to put down his enemies. He's capable of doing so. You don't have to do it for him. You say, but oh, it makes for such a terrible society. And if we don't gather ourselves together, and if we don't march together, and if we don't get coalitions together, and if we don't do this, then the devil's going to take over our country. I've got news for you. He's had it all the time. He's had it all the time. Now, he didn't have the power used to that he has now. Oh, but the devil's been in control all the time. You say, well, our country was founded on religious beliefs. Granted that most of it was. But on the other hand, much of it was settled by people seeking gold. Much of it was settled by people seeking money. Much of it was settled by people who came here to raise tobacco to ship back to Europe. You hadn't thought of that, had you, lately? Well, at least God is in control overall, but the devil is the prince and the power of the air. The devil is in control of the nations and the political powers of the nation. Oh, he can't go beyond what God wants him to. He cannot go beyond what God allows, because God is in overall control. but God is allowing him to be the prince and the power of the air right now. But when Jesus comes again, praise God, Jesus is going to make war with the devil and all of the enemies of Christ. And the scripture says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew. I think I'm going to continue this on the program next week. It'll be a separate message, but at least in the same scriptures. And so I'll just drop off right there for now. But look, my friend, Jesus Christ is going to put an end to the wickedness and the ungodliness. Whenever you see, in fact, it's become so discouraging until you just rather not watch the news. Now, I don't advise that you don't keep up with things that's going on today. I think the newspapers and the news programs and that kind of thing, news magazines, I think perhaps they ought to be read. I think we ought to know. I think we ought to recognize that there is a certain amount of bias in many of these reports, that those who are making these reports are anti-God, and they are strictly liberal in their philosophy and in their political belief, and they care nothing about God unless they can find some way to make fun of his program. I admit that, but it's all right for us to listen and keep up with it. But don't forget, Christian, don't forget, dear person, even if you're not a Christian, don't forget that Jesus Christ is going to come again, and he's going to put an end to all of that that is contrary to him and contrary to his program. Oh, I praise God for that today. It's not going to always be like it is right now. Christians are not always going to be put down. Christians are not always going to be driven back in the corner. Oh, yes, they've taken the Bible out of the schools, and the country has been going down ever since. Now, they're doing another thing. Many states are doing it. It's coming and will eventually be to all of them. Right here in our beloved state of South Carolina, one of the best in the nation, maybe not educationally, maybe not financially, maybe not numerically, but South Carolina is a good state, and many, many God-fearing people live in the state of South Carolina, and yet we have gambling and lottery and all that goes along with it here in our lovely state of South Carolina, the buckle of the Bible Belt. Well, you say, the devil's winning. Well, he seems to be. It looks that way. But praise God, I know the end of the story. I know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. I know what's coming. I've read the last chapter of the book. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And he is coming with his eyes as a flame of fire, and crowns on his head. He's coming to put down ungodliness and wickedness, and I'm glad I'm on his side. Are you on his side? Have you been saved? Are you a born-again child of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, please accept him right now. And if you have problems knowing just how to get saved, write and ask us. If you can't find somebody quickly, write and ask us, and we'll send you a book telling you how that you can be saved in very plain language. May God bless you until this time next week.